Hey, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Rachel Roberts.
We're digital producers at Bravo TV, coming to you from our offices in Rockefeller Plaza. Rockefeller Plaza.
Nope.
One more time.
Rockefeller Center.
So we're recording this episode a little early because, Megan, you're going away next week.
I am going to Los Angeles.
Why are you going there?
A little thing called Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion.
Ah, the Thunderdome.
Yeah. Is it weird that I'm nervous for Teddy?
No. I think that, like, much like this season, she does not know what she's getting into.
Yeah.
Not that she can't hold her own.
Totally. She totally can. I hope she's mentally prepared for this.
Right. I'm trying to think of, like, what an accountable person would do for the reunion.
Make lots of lists ahead of time.
I feel like an accountable person would have a list of evidence that you would pull up behind
receipts.
The cushions. Yeah, right? Yeah.
But will this reunion be able to surpass the crazy bunny moment from last year?
I mean, what could? But you know, you never know.
Never know.
There could be another bunny incident. We're just not aware.
I hope Camille's there.
Oh, my God. What if this is what should happen? Dorit should get Camille a ball gag.
Oh, or something.
Or a
dildo.
Oh. Because she's, or a strap-on, rather.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I don't think that it would go well. I think gag ball would go better.
Yes, yes. Or nothing at all.
Or maybe nothing
at all. Just a pleasant handshake.
You know, gag ball, handshake.
But yeah, I'm so excited, and I'll try to share as many details as I can when I get back.
Will you record for us a little secret voice memo?
Yeah.
Okay, amazing.
You might have to bleep some names.
I'm available.
All right, we've got some shows to talk about. We have Vanderpump Rules, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
We talked to Craig
Conover,
Megan's secret crush?
Not so secret.
and we talked to Quad Webb Lunsford from Married to Medicine about that crazy reunion.
Yes. Let's get into it. Okay. As Rachel astutely pointed out before we began recording, we have to talk about the bottle.
No, not the bottle of tequila.
Lala's bottle of milk and honey,
which she also still calls her Baba.
Ugh. I'm on a very low dose of my anti-anxiety medication. So when I do feel like my heart's beating a little fast, I need my Baba and a little warm milk and honey in it. It soothes me like I'm a baby.
I self-professed Lala lover.
I thought you were about to say bottle lover.
Could you imagine? I have one too at home every night. But this was maybe one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on Bravo.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it like in a movie before. Like it was a technique to get this.
Was it a child?
She was a troubled teenager.
Okay.
And to mend the relationship with the mother, they were like, let her feed you from a bottle.
Was this movie on Lifetime?
Close. but yeah, so I don't know if this is like a therapist suggestion or it's just something she never grew out of, like sucking your thumb.
But like, I've heard like a warm glass of milk before you go to bed. Like that's a thing.
Right.
I've heard that. But to actually have a bottle.
No, but even how she props it up to watch TV, it's just like a toddler.
It brought a lot of
weird,
uncomfortable
feelings.
Like I just like. Even now, I feel uncomfortable like, in my body thinking about it. Like, I'm just like, ugh. And then I was like, who knows what this even means for other things?
Rachel.
Like, what?
I don't know. If you like to kind of pretend to be like a baby in one circumstance.
Oh, like that time Jim Carrey and Melissa McCarthy. No, and Jenny McCarthy wore diapers for a day.
I didn't know about this, but yeah,
yes.
Just like that. I don't know. It all, I'm just glad that I don't have that level of anxiety that I need a Baba, I guess.
Can I tell you the one baby thing I've always wanted to do?
Oh, God. This has opened a weird door. I don't know.
Every dead of winter, I get jealous of the kids who are in strollers, like, tucked into their little sleeping bags. Because I'm like, what a way to travel. And so I've always said to Aaron, just 1 year for my birthday.
Could you imagine seeing a grown woman, like, in a thing? But I do love when their little feet, like, kick.
Yeah.
It's so cute. I've never had the compulsion to be in one, though. Again, makes me a little creeped out.
Grace, any baby fantasies? Any
baby fantasies? No, because I think when I was like 11, I saw an episode of CSI that was like about baby fetishes.
Yes, I've seen. I always think of that specific episode. It was a man who like had like a basement for his nursery where he was the baby.
So I was like immediately like, CSI informed a lot of my moral choices.
Me too. Like immediately like, I don't want to be a part of that.
Exactly.
I feel like 11's a bit young to get kind of introduced to that world.
I was unsupervised in middle school. No, it couldn't have been 11. It must have been like 13 or 14.
I definitely watched CSI when I was like 11 or 12.
Yeah, it was like a latchkey kid kind of.
Yeah.
I can watch anything on TV.
But you know what? I think it's a positive if you don't want to dress up as a baby.
Right.
Yeah, no shaming, though. Anybody out there that's your thing. It's weird. We're getting into a weird territory.
I like it.
Yeah, just keep going down this road.
Please tweet us at Bravo TV.
What is your weird fetish?
Yeah.
Mystic Michaela would know.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, we just had to call that out because I'm still not over it.
Right. Okay. What do you think happened in Copenhagen that was so bad that all of Kristen's friends left her?
That is the question. What happened in Copenhagen?
Because, like, so far, Stassi's not really spelling it out.
This past spring, I went on a trip to Copenhagen with Katie and Kristen. On the last night in Copenhagen, I actually saw Satan. Kristen was sobbing, screaming, losing her f***ing mind. So we left her in Copenhagen and went to Paris.
Kristen gets really drunk, okay.
Right.
But then likes to stay up past 2 a.m.
Also a problem,
yeah, apparently. Like annoying.
Yeah.
But like to the point that you're abandoning someone.
In Copenhagen, I know. Well, my whole thing was, if my friends left me in a foreign country, like all together, we would no longer be friends.
So weird.
Like, how do you get over something like that? Unless it was like she was so awful and freaked out that she just then went home the next day.
I feel like we need to have Stassi call in.
Yes.
Give us like some more specific details from this trip.
I just wish I would have watched this before I just talked to her because it would have only been about that.
Right.
But I'm going to Copenhagen in like a week.
So
now I'm like, oh God, is it doomed? Is my friend going to leave
behavior?
You should ask like every like hotel concierge that you meet, like, do you know Kristen Doty?
Right. I mean, I'm staying in an Airbnb, so I think they probably stayed a little nicer place than I am. But actually, I don't know.
Who knows?
Oh, but at the end of the episode, Kristen was like, I have major anxiety if I go to other places without Carter.
Traveling freaks my brain out. Every time I've left the country without Carter, I have an anxiety attack. If I'm nervous traveling and I have to go anyway, Xanax or edibles.
And I was like, who does this remind me of? Kim Zolciak.
Totally.
She can't go anywhere without Croy. So, because she has anxiety. So I was like, is this a thing? Is it more real than we realize?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get it on some level just because, like, when Aaron's there, he's always taking care of the little things. So when I don't have him around, I get a little like, ugh. But that said, just went without him and it was great.
Literally, quote, the best vacation of my life, Aaron. So yeah, Megan's never gonna come back after her next vacation, and
right.
I apparently will get left in Copenhagen. Oh, but one more thing, this Jax, Brittany, Sheena situation, do we think he was zen?
He obviously knows we're together now.
Yeah.
And Well, he hasn't acted on it now that he knows, has he?
He did do it after he knew we were together.
He said what?
That he had a crush on me or something. I don't know. This is coming from Sheena.
Why didn't you tell me?
He was kind of zen in weird moments of this episode. Like, yeah. It was like, oh, he's changing?
I couldn't take it seriously, though, when he was just, like, sitting, looking out with his worry rock.
Right.
Or his negativity rock.
Right.
I, like, couldn't handle it. I was laughing
but
at
I my feel
desk.
Like that's a little bit Grace.
Oh, yeah. Like, I spent 10 minutes just holding my crystals this morning.
Oh. No offense. I just, it's like to see Jack so, like, vulnerable and serious. It's just funny to me.
Totally.
So this is my negativity rock.
So this is gonna help dissolve negative energy. Sit alone, and I want you to just consciously start to see yourself having a good time on the trip.
It's supposed to get rid of the negative energy in you, inside you.
Yeah, so I do think that there's a little bit of a new Jax, but he also feels a bit broken.
Yeah.
Like he's sad.
Yeah. Or it could be he's so excited about this new job opportunity that okay. everything else just feels sort of not worth it.
Right. But he did, because he did say, like, there's nothing here that I'm proud of.
Right.
I don't have a lot of things in my life that I'm super proud of, I'm super excited about.
But then I will say, within the same day later on where they're talking about Adam, he was like, look at my life and look at that kid. He's a dishwasher. And I was like, I thought you had nothing you were proud of, Jax.
Nothing ever came from it. He's just a nice guy.
We talked a little bit about this last week, Grace. He sees what he wants, and he sees the man he wants to be. The execution is always just lacking, though.
Yeah.
And he isn't actually dealing with anything yet.
I'm glad that he's in therapy. I'm glad that he has his Reiki master. I would like to see him with a life coach.
Mm.
Someone who's giving him
actionable steps.
I would love to see Jax with Teddy just telling him what to do at every moment of the day.
How do we make this happen? Can you suggest it? Can you ask at the reunion? Send Teddy the entire season of Vanderpump and see if she can fix him.
Okay.
I feel like she would take it as a pro bono case, yes, honestly.
Totally.
Anyway, so we'll see what happens next week when Kristen throws a drink in James' face. We'll be talking to James and Raquel about that very dinner next week.
So we had a big moment on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Big moment.
Finally got to meet
Mark.
Mark.
Sorry. I was just so excited.
What's Mark's last name?
Daly.
Mark Daly.
Daly Dish?
Oh. Full disclosure, he sponsors this podcast.
Yes.
So we love Mark.
Initial thoughts?
Well, obviously, he's super cute.
Yes.
Seemed really nice.
Yes.
Dealt with all the little, like, ribbing well.
But had a nose ring.
Oh, I didn't notice.
He had a nose ring. He even talked about it because Sheree was like,
where'd you get your nose pierced? I want to get mine pierced.
I got mine pierced about 2 years ago.
Where? In New York?
Oh, in New York. Yeah, in the Village.
You get your nose pierced?
I haven't really seen a guy with a nose ring since Tupac. I don't know. It's just, it was different.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't think I must have been, like, doing something when he said that.
Little stud in the nostril.
The fact that he got it in the Village, too. You know where he got it in the Village. He got it on St. Mark's. That's where he got that nose piercing. Oh, Mark.
I know.
Mark.
Why not take it out at this point?
Right. You're, like, in your 40s at least. Right?
Late.
Late 40s? Is it time to take the nose ring out?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, do you think Kenya didn't know he was coming?
She knew he was coming.
Right? Like, no, Mark isn't going to be here. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here today. Otherwise, I would have picked out his clothes.
No, she said no.
He cannot get on the plane by himself, girl. I need to book his ticket.
What?
I need to pick out his clothes.
Girl, I didn't have this without you all his life.
Has. But guess what? He is married now, so guess who he loves to take care of him?
What did you think about what the lady said in interview, though? Because there were some choice quotes I wanted to bring up.
Oh, read me some.
I don't know if he's her real husband, but he's real.
That makes me laugh,
right? When they asked, I think it was Nene, like, do you think that they're really in love? And she said, Kenya appears to be truly in love.
Do they appear to be truly in love?
Kenya appears to be truly in love.
I mean, it's so mean. Like, at first it wasn't enough that they couldn't meet him. Now they've met him, and then they're like, still like, well, is it a real marriage?
Right, you know? Right. Well, I loved when, I think it was Nene in an interview too, where she was like, well.
Well, he has definitely improved since being a cardboard in San Francisco.
But I will say I had a much better first impression of him than I did Patrick, Stassi's boyfriend. Remember, because like when we met Patrick, we're like, what?
Right.
This is so different than what we imagine. Mark's not so different.
No, because Mark, you know, he's like a businessman. He's like someone who I could see like maybe not wanting to get on the drama on the show. But then you meet Patrick, who's like has a ponytail, seems very like hippy-dippy.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. Next week's the finale. I can't believe it's the finale.
Yeah, no, I can't either.
I just cannot wait to see Nene walk in that roach costume, or in that roach exterminator costume.
Oh my God, I haven't seen the next one.
Oh my God, have you not?
Next time on the season finale of The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
So what are we doing to celebrate you moving here?
I usually do a Halloween party.
Well, you know, I spoke to Candy the other day, and she told me that she met up with Kim. I'm sure she invited her.
Nene's in a roach costume, though?
Greg is the roach. Nene's an exterminator. It's freaking amazing.
That's one way to own the narrative.
Yes.
Respect.
I love it. It's so good. And then Kim says something like, well.
What else can you do when your house is infested?
You know what Kim should have gone as?
An exterminator.
Uber driver.
Amazing.
It got dark. But then the reunion. Oh, we'll probably get the teaser for the reunion next week. And if we have it, we'll link it below.
We've both been traveling a lot. And I don't know about you, but nothing feels better than going home to my own bed and my own Nectar mattress.
Absolutely. It's America's most comfortable mattress. And it really does feel like a cloud.
Nectar is amazing to sleep on, and Nectar sleepers actually fall asleep 20% faster than people who sleep on other mattresses.
20? That's a lot.
A lot.
Maybe one of the reasons why it's so comfortable is it's 11 inches deep. So yes, bigger is better. And it uses a unique 5-layer technology that no other mattress in the market has.
Nectar promises that you'll love it. They have put a forever warranty on the mattress. That means forever. As in death do you part. They are prepared to give our listeners a mattress for 365 nights to discover happily ever after. And after that time period, you're still not 100% happy. They are going to pick up the mattress for free and you'll get a full refund.
Buy now and get $125 off and 2 free premium pillows with any mattress order and free delivery.
Go to NectarSleep.com/dish and get the best sleep you have ever had for every night of the rest of your life. So this week on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we see them go to Berlin. And even I saw Eric watching the episode and he was like, oh my God, Dorit's packing system. Like, this is insane, because she takes photos, has the whole outfit like shrink wrapped in a, you know, it's a whole thing.
Right.
I love to prepare for big events. I map out my outfits. I put them in their own bags with a picture, all the components. At the very least, I'd like to look my best.
I got a bonus video of Erica and Mikey and how they prepare to travel. And it's just too good for us not to play it.
Okay, so today we're talking about packing for Europe, packing for an extended trip. What's it like? What do you need? Obviously, you need a lot of stuff.
An international moment always requires multiple options.
Too much is not enough.
Correct.
You could go out. You could ride horses. You could get in a brawl.
Yeah, and if you just bring what you think you need, what if you change your mind when you're there? What if you feel fat? What if you feel bloated? What if you hate the hotel food? And whatever, you know, it's just you need options.
You need options.
So you need great travel wear.
Let me say something about traveling. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. When you see women that are totally head to toe, decked out, bitch, you are not a traveler. I have my own plane and I'm wearing fucking sweats. What am I wearing on this trip? Sweats. Because why? There's nothing to do on a plane except go to sleep. I don't care who's sitting next to you. Am I right?
It's just best to be comfortable, and you never know.
What I mean, if there's an emergency? You gotta look cute. I'm not saying you should look like, you know, horrible, but what if you got a book? Like,
what if you got the plane goes down?
What if
you're
gonna
be in pumps and a skirt?
Bitch, Bye. And
I think first and foremost, also a must. This is a must.
If you're a real traveler.
You don't travel with designer luggage. You travel with wardrobe trunks, which is what professionals do.
And this shit right here, let me tell you what they do to your fucking luggage. They toss that shit
right
all down everywhere. So don't buy anything good, girl. Worry about what's in
here. It's what's inside
the house. Yeah, trust me. It's not on the outside. It's what's in here. That's where
and
the
you
money
want these
is.
To be even. You weigh them out, etc.
Yeah, you have to weigh them because otherwise they will hit your fucking ass with the most outrageous fees. Trust me. Okay.
You need...
I'm ranting. I'm so passionate about right. this. Anything could happen.
You need bomber jackets, leather jackets, trench coats, Chanel jackets, sweaters, sweatshirts, dresses, latex, if you dare.
If you dare.
I don't
we do.
We do. I don't know if you do.
We do. We do.
And don't throw your
so
shit.
So you need all of this, right?
You need all their shit. And now let's go to accessories, which yes. I've laid out on my bed. Okay, here we go. Go over.
So obviously...
You gotta have eyewear.
You gotta stay shady.
Always. You gotta know where you're packing for. Like, we're going to Berlin. Are you going to Boca Raton? Then
right.
maybe you don't bring this shit. Maybe this doesn't look good in Boca. But I bet you in Berlin, I'm a hit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like one of those. All right, what else? And you have to, listen, gloves, when you go away and you're trying to pretend like you got something, gloves always make it better.
If you're fat and you wanna suck it in,
get a fucking corset, bitch.
Keep.
This works because let's face it, you're gonna bloat on the plane, you're gonna be eating salty food, drinks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Instant waistline. Tights are good. We have some red Gucci tights, some green Gucci tights. I don't know if I'm gonna get into these Grinch ones, but we're gonna try it.
Wolford's always nice as well.
Wolford. And Gucci socks, they're a must. They make anything look good. Mm-hmm. You can wear basically anything. Well, you know, yeah, I think that's it. You gotta have some backpacks because, well, I'm a backpack girl. Not everybody's backpack
girl. True.
I like backpacks. I think that, you know, it leaves my arms free and I can run all around. Again, you never know when you might have to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Exactly.
The paparazzi may be chasing you.
Oh my God. So during this episode, what I wrote down was, I just want to be as rich as Erica Jane.
Right.
And now I'm like even more jealous.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's the most, what do you call it? When you're, it's the most unrelatable piece of content, I think, that lives on our site.
Absolutely. It's like, the most relatable thing she said was, you want to wear sweats.
Yes.
You don't want to be in pumps.
That was my favorite. It's like, Mikey's like, if the plane goes down, you're going to be in a skirt and pumps.
Well, literally, they tell you that to take off your heels if you have to go down
The emergency slide.
You're not supposed to wear heels because, like, you could pop
it.
So you don't want to be that bitch. There were so many amazing things.
I'm
literally just thinking because I'm going literally in less than a week or in, like, a week and a day abroad, and I'm like, what my packing is compared to what their packing is so sad.
Well, are you bringing long gloves? Because she says those will make anything better.
Surprisingly, I don't have my long gloves. And I also don't have...
Your wardrobe trunks.
My wardrobe trunks. I don't have my red Berlin hat. I just don't think I'm prepared.
Let me tell you, I am going to Indonesia the same time you're going away. And all I've bought so far are the Tevas that, like, aren't trendy with, like, the thick soles and the arch support.
Nice.
And, like, 12 pairs of underwear.
So no latex for Indonesia?
If you dare.
I'm going to this wedding, and I'm like, do I need to buy new flats? Because it's a wedding, I don't want to be in heels all day.
Yeah.
Like, that's the extent of where I'm at.
Right.
And, like... I hope I wash my leggings in time because I'm going to be, like, traveling on a plane.
Whereas Erica's bringing at least 20 pairs of shoes.
I will say, though, that I did bring a full, like, big 50-pound case for 4 days, which I know that on this week on Beverly Hills, all of them brought four of those for 4 days. But I felt like I was being very extreme with that.
Yeah, you guys all need to check out this clip. It's on
BravoTV.com,
and we'll put a link to it in the description. So what we just watched was basically one super long Erica Jane moment of the week. But to talk about the actual most Erica Jane moment of the week, Eric J. Mack.
Hey, guys. It's the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
What's up? So this week, there were a couple moments actually throughout the episode that I thought were pretty great. But I think the moment goes to, we need to bring the lube for this. When she's talking about that siren red latex suit, which I tried looking up earlier today. And I think NBC is going to come for me in my search history because it was a lot of porn that came up. It was like red latex girls on like Pornhub. And I was like, uh-oh.
But wait, so because didn't they say it's like powder inside but lube on the outside?
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say that was like a thing.
How is the lube helping on the outside?
It makes it shiny?
It must like shine it, and I think the baby powder helps it from like sticking, like slides easier. But I mean, I didn't know that, so I mean, you really do learn something new every day. I feel like I've learned a lot from Erica this season that I like didn't know. Like, we learned about the socks with the boots, like, we were like, what socks do you wear? I mean, she's teaching us every day, you guys.
Well, she just taught us a lot in this video about packing for those of you who can afford just Chanel and Gucci tights and, like, whatever.
Well, I can.
I thought that your moment was going to be her putting her avatar as her interview.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. That was a funny moment. I mean, we've seen the avatar before, so I didn't want to give it, like, another moment, but that was pretty great. I also thought that when she was talking about the origins of Erica Jayne with Rinna and Dorit, it kind of goes back to, I think, one of the first most Erica Jayne moments that we had talked about on the podcast, which was like her talking about saying yes to everything.
The place
what did she
of
say?
Yes.
I'm in the mind to saying yes to everything. Being fearless is what it's all about.
Pivot.
I
know, pivot. Right? Pivot.
I mean, how many times do we hear that every day? And like to know that Erica's hearing it too, it's quite comforting, actually.
Right. Ugh. I love her.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, guys. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
So Southern Charm comes back next Thursday. So we had to get someone from Southern Charm and, of course, to talk about the new season. Lucky for us, or maybe lucky for Megan.
Yeah, lucky, lucky me.
That was Craig Conover.
I mean, I've met him before, but it was different this time. He talked about pro bono work he wants to do as a lawyer.
Well, he wasn't a lawyer before.
Right. Oh, maybe that's what it is.
I mean, like, that is the most you thing ever. You can make money now?
No.
But yeah, him and Naomi, not together anymore. Yep. We talked about who got Gizmo. It was a sad interview,
but also interesting and enlightening in a lot of ways. Yes. And a lot of good sneak peeks about the upcoming season.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, we are here with Craig Conover.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. We're going to start off kind of serious.
Okay.
What is your relationship status?
I am single and
ready to mingle.
Ready to
I think all women around the world just perked up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm a, you know, I recently closed, you know, a pretty big chapter in my life. But, you know, I'm excited that we were able to actually close it instead of it, you know, winding on like some of our other friends. And, you know, we've both kind of been able to move on. So, you know, neither one of us did anything bad, which was great. You know, no one stepped out on anyone or, you know, cheated or, you know, so there wasn't really any anger other than, you know, disappointment. We both kind of, well, obviously wish things were, you know, different, but we finally accepted reality and moved on. So it's, you will see this year that we both have very different lives now than we did a year ago. And it's pretty funny. My best friend that I grew up with and my roommate in college, actually, he just got out of a 3-year relationship also, a few months before me. So it kind of worked out perfectly. Like, I was like, hey, like, let's do it again. So he moved in, to my new house. And, so we're having fun, and Naomi's like best friends moved in with her too. And so, you know, I can at least say for myself, I'm in a lot happier and a lot, you know, healthier place. So,
but who got Gizmo?
Unfortunately, Gizmo and Z stayed with their mama. I know. So I had to, I don't have my conversations with Gizmo anymore. But yeah, Gizmo decided that he lives with her parents now. So he just walked down the street and now he lives at, you know, Naomi's parents. And but Naomi still has Z, which I definitely miss him. But that's where he should be. So it's good.
Good. Are you going to get another cat?
I don't I don't plan on it, but I also didn't plan on the first two, so we'll never know. But or we don't know. I mean, I would love to have an animal at the house, but you know, my roommate travels like 150 days a year for work, and I travel a lot, and so I think it would be a little selfish at this point to have an animal. But he is very what's the word? Sean talks about getting a dog a lot. It's not dog thirsty. That sounds weird. What would dog?
Like not dog thirsty, but
or hungry. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Dog desperate.
Like what is it called when you want to have
dog
a baby?
Dog fever.
Yeah. Dog. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kind of
puppy
like
fever.
Puppy fever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully one doesn't show up or we don't find one on the, you know, lost on the road because you know we obviously would not be able to, you know, give it back
right.
or get rid of it. So we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get an animal.
Since you're single and ready to mingle, are we going to see you dating on this season?
This season, it's talked about and it kind of becomes, you know, kind of a conflict because at the end of Naomi and I's relationship, you know, there's multiple times this year that, you know, you'll see me try to communicate that, you know, there's no one that I prefer to be with other than her. I'm like, you're my favorite person. Like, I want to, like, let's make this work. And, you know, she says, like, you know, she's just, you know, done trying. And she thinks, she was like, it's ready. I need to think with my head, not my heart. And it's time to move on. So it's going to be a pretty wild ride this season.
Charleston seems pretty small. Do you run into each other a lot?
Yeah, it is small, but on top of that, we also have the exact same friend group. So, you know, we're friends with a lot of the same people. And yeah, so we intersect a lot. But I think we're close to the point now where we're going to be seeing other people. And so we haven't experienced that yet. Of it's one thing to run into each other, but I think we're getting close to the point where we're going to start running into each other with other people. And that will probably be, you know, a whole new ball game. So.
Well, and I feel like because you're a lawyer now, you're probably getting way more action.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it was everything about, yeah, that state. Why it was just, yeah, the end of the statement was great, but the lawyer part was, it makes me really happy. So I was really excited to get that phone call when I did, and my parents came down, and it's been a long time coming. So, you know, for so long, I was, yeah, I wasn't allowed to say that or do anything lawyer like at all. So now I can say that I'm a real life attorney and yeah. You know, I can, you know, help people out now. But yeah, I don't know, it makes me laugh because you'll hear a lot of you know, insults hurled my way this year and like concern, and you know, the whole time I'm like, I really didn't understand it because I was like, I don't understand, like everything's like kind of going great right now, and you know, I'm happy with where my life's at. And so I don't know. It's kind of funny to relive this past season, especially with, you know, everything that's happened recently. Well, it'll be a feeling of I don't know, I guess winning
or yeah.
like you know, because you're like, well, I told you, you're like, it's yeah. kind of like I told you so,
right?
Like
right.
I don't know why everyone was freaking out.
Yeah,
so it's cool.
I feel like that's the best victory. Way to go into a season, yeah. winning, right?
Well, like it's a victory, you know? Right. I mean, you know, I'm going to get destroyed on other stuff, but...
like what, Craig?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You'll have to... I guess we'll all have to see together. I'm trying to think what would be embarrassing for me that without saying it. I don't know.
We'll have to see.
Oh, I mean, I injure myself by doing something stupid, so.
Who doesn't?
Right.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah, that's going to.
You in particular. Yeah.
But no, it'll be, my season's a lot of the dramas with myself, and it's a lot of reflection, and there's also a big challenge that I was dealing with, that a lot of things were going good in my life, and I was, you know, achieving some sort of success. However, you know, I still fell into the patterns of my old ways sometimes with, you know, I'd go like full speed into something, like my sewing or something like that, and like, I would go full speed into it, 100 miles an hour for like a month, and then all of a sudden, like, something would happen, or I would like, get distracted, and then it was really hard for me to, like, there was no balance. And so this year, like, you know, I start to talk to someone, you know, like a life coach and stuff, and she kind of tries to help me figure out that balance of like, all right, it's great that you're so passionate about this, but let's figure out a way to do it so, you know, you stay passionate about it. So it's good. I think it ends well for me.
Are you still sewing now that you're a lawyer? Because I was worried that it was going to go away.
Yes, I am still sewing. There's definitely a lot of sewing this season, but it's more me. Oh, yeah, that'll be embarrassing because it's me attempting to do things that I'd never done before. I tried to make Cameron a teddy bear for Palmer, and of course I chose like most advanced pattern, and like when I was I was able to make like a, you know, the head and like a foot, and it just didn't work. So
please I
gave,
tell me you sewed them together.
No, well, I gave it to her in a bag, like all the pieces. So I made like all of the teddy bear, but I couldn't put it together.
It's more like a threat than a gift.
So yeah, exactly. So I gave her a pillow instead, but in the bag was the pieces of the the unassembled teddy bear. But no, it's good. But then I got hurt and it kind of, you know, it stopped me. So I recently started again, and I was telling someone earlier, I'm launching Flawed Creation next week, and it's a throw pillow line, but it's also a lifestyle brand with kind of embracing your uniqueness and, you know, your flaws or quirkiness that some people, you know, would make fun of you for when you're younger, actually kind of become who you are and why you're successful once you grow up. So just embracing who you are, and I think it's a positive message. So there is lots of sewing still going on.
Okay.
Will practicing law become a bigger part of your life? Like, is that where your focus is going to go? Or
yeah, I think a great way to handle it, how I plan to go about being a new attorney, is I would like to start hopefully putting in like 20 to 30 hours at the clinic in Charleston and just doing pro bono stuff, you know, for like the first 6 months to a year. Because it's why I got into it in the first place. And, you know, I really enjoy that aspect of it and helping people, you know, that are in kind of dire need for help. And you're in a position where you're one of the only people that can help them. So I'd love to do that if I get the opportunity. And I think it'll be a good way to get my feet wet and, you know, start to get into that routine of, you know, lawyer life. But I'm excited. So I definitely I don't want to waste it. So
how much would you say that your good looks help in the courtroom?
Well, we have yet to see that, but they, no, I mean, I guess you'll take any advantage you can get. But if that is one, and I do have to run my hand down like the jury rail and smile at some people, if that does help swing some votes, I can't say that I haven't thought about that before. But yeah, I think there might be a moment where I'm flirting a little bit with the older women on the jury panel, or men, whoever I need to swing their vote, doesn't matter.
And it's all for a good cause.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess my side would think that it's for a good cause. Like, the other side would probably not going to like me too much, but yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean, hopefully we can help some people out, so.
Shep, when he was in, talked about a movie you guys were in together. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was a blast. Yeah, so Shep and I are movie stars now. Yeah. So we got a little credit on our IMDb page, and I was laughing. We flew out to Cincinnati, and neither of us had ever done anything like it. And Shep played an ambulance driver, and I was a cop, and I was Officer Smith. And it was like Olivia Culpo was in the movie, and these people's names I probably should not be forgetting at the moment, but it was a blast. And so he was like in the ambulance, like saving some kid. And then my scene, I throw a, that's who it is. I throw a shotgun at Bruce Willis, and Bruce Willis.
That was the name you forgot?
He's going to come after
you. I was like, I really can't believe I'm blanking on this right now. Yeah, so like Bruce had just gotten done like Die Hard style.
And now it's Bruce.
Probably killing a bunch of people. Yeah. And I'm like, who are you? Who are you? And then he's like, you know, very upset that I would even challenge who he is, because he probably just saved everyone. And and he throws the shotgun to me, and I like catch it. And I was like, geez, if you've ever like caught something, and you're like, don't be the one time that you drop something. And so I catch it, and then like I rack it, and then I walk off the scene, and that's my scene. So
he was pretty jealous, I will say, when he was in the office, that he didn't get the gun.
Yeah, I definitely got the better edit, or the better role on that. Chef, like, he's like, they told him to just he had like an iPad, and he was supposed to be like monitoring the kids vital signs, and they're like, Shep, just like act like you're typing on it. So you know how like Shep and I can't sit still either, but Shep's like even worse than me, and so he's like hitting them the monitor like spaz. And he's like, yeah, how much did he eat today or something, he had to ask Olivia. But yeah, she was a great, I mean, she's a sweetheart, everyone was super nice. And it was fun. So I hope to do it again. I mean, my like, if I could play anything, I mean, obviously I'm not pursuing this, but I've always dreamt of playing a soldier. That is my dream role of anything. And I would give up a lot to do that. And the guy that made this film actually made Lone Survivor. And so I was like, all right, well, maybe we could like keep doing these extra roles and stick around. And, you know, so I think I'm going to do it again. It was a blast. So, and you meet some cool people. So
what war movie would you want to be in?
Any war movie.
Dunkirk.
No. Well, I want to do like...
You don't want to compete with Harry Styles?
Yeah, no. I mean, anything. I would say a modern, like one based on like the existing war. Like, you know, like a special... Yeah, my dream role would be like play like a special ops guy, like special operations over there. And like, I think it's like the movie they just came out with. I'm like, that's so awesome that they got to do that. And I think I have a ton of respect for the military and everything. So it'd be that aspect. But it also just like, I feel like that like if there was any way for me to feel cool or to look cool, like that would be it. Like to be like be in hair and makeup every day with like war paint and like running around like you're all like you have your flak jacket on and all suited up and like yeah, like the even like the show like SEAL Team or whatever. I was like yes, I would love that. But if you can't tell, definitely not thought about this a lot or acted it out in my living room over and over.
Do you regret having your relationship play out on TV?
You know, I'm happy that I don't. I was very nervous that, like, if things ever ended, it would be because we were on TV together, and I wouldn't have been able to forget that, and I would have obviously regretted that for a long time. And now we can both, like, explore, you know, new people and have new adventures. And
I know you can't tell us too much, but what can you tell everyone about the new season and what they might see?
Somehow like everything changed again because I'm always like there's nothing new that's happening in our lives, and then of course like shit hits the fan and like everyone breaks up with each other, and so this is like this year is the battle of the sexes, and everyone has basically when you guys pick up, and what everyone will get to see is that, you know, we're so intertwined and we all have the same friends that basically, you know, Shep's birthday is coming up and like we all go to support him. But what it means is that you have a whole bunch of people that had broken up, you know, weeks or months prior that haven't spoken are all about to be in the same place. And that's kind of how, you know, the next few months of our lives go. And it shows you how like the guys are kind of dealing with it and coping. And then it shows how the girls are dealing with it and coping. And, you know, it's neat because, you know, Shep becomes a very supportive, you know, a healthy influence, you know, in my life of being like nice and encouraging instead of like, you know, I think he saw how like the breaking down approach didn't help with me. And so he, like, we all help each other out, you know, like Austin has to figure his shit out with, you know, his relationships that are going on. And, you know, it's good. So Shep, you know, put himself out there and unfortunately didn't work out. So I think he's maybe a little more sensitive to that. And I don't know. So it's a new aspect in a lot of different layers that you haven't seen before. And everyone screams this year. So it used to just be Thomas and Catherine, and every single person is yelling throughout the season. So, but it's like not dark. It's more like it's a healthy, like, it's just good. Like the yelling's not great, and obviously it's not nice, and you shouldn't do that. But this year everyone does it, and but I think it works out at the end. So
thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, thanks for having me.
So you're not going to believe this. Well, maybe you will because you're in so many weddings. Uh-huh. We have another wedding coming up that Aaron and I have to go to.
Tis the season.
I know. So we have to call on our friends, the Black Tux.
You've used that before.
Yeah, the Black Tux is the easy way for guys to rent suits and tuxedos online. It lets you create your own look, or you can choose from one of their stylist-selected outfits.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, because, you know, suits usually retail for $1,200, but at the Black Tux, they start at just $95. And expert customer care has your back every step of the way. Once you get your tuxedo delivered for free, if there's anything you don't like about it, you can send it back and they'll send you another suit for free.
Oh my God.
Yeah. To get $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/dish. That's theblacktux.com/dish for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux. Premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered.
And Aaron did look really great in those suits.
Calm down.
But Craig isn't the only person we talked to this week. I also talked to Quad when she was in the office. This was like 2 days after the reunion was taped. Maybe not even. So I got her like right after to get her reactions to everything. And it was, if you haven't watched it, Andy calls it the realest shit he's ever seen at a reunion.
Yeah.
Desiree from Lincoln, Nebraska said, Quad, whenever Greg physically touched you, you pushed him away.
Yes,
I'm not a psychiatrist or a relationship expert, but let's be honest, you don't like this man. Do you want to stay in this?
We can't continue the way we're going.
Uh-huh.
And I have been a bit withdrawn because there's a lot of things that have went on in our marriage that you all have not been privy to. And it's not for me to go out here right now on this platform and talk about those things.
Well, let's just get it all out on the table. Because what she's talking about, when she's saying there's been things in our marriage that have been so hard, there was a time when I did something I shouldn't have done. Me and a friend of mine, we were hanging out one night, and we met these two girls, and we went back to a hotel.
It was the craziest thing. I was there. I still can't believe what happened. So we got her reaction to everything, like, the next day, and she's on 10. It's amazing.
You and Dr. G.
Yeah.
I would only imagine that the conversation continued after the reunion.
Yes, it did.
Where are you at? I know it just happened last night,
mm-hmm.
but where are you at today?
Oh, God. Dr. G and I are in a place that is very uncertain for our future, right? I think that he now sees how hard I tried to uphold him, and not only him, but our marriage. As a wife, I tried to protect him, even if it was at the expense of myself. And I think a lot of people initially was kind of criticizing or questioning me for what was going on in our marriage. And I think the reunion set the record straight. And listen, I am strong, I am bold, I am outspoken, I am woman. But I am a person who has feelings. And I think a lot of times people kind of just skirt over that because I am outspoken. And it's unfair. It's really, really unfair. And some of the things that I have experienced in my marriage hasn't been right. And I'm questioning if it's right for me to stay in the marriage.
You kind of alluded to this, but some more things came out last night that mm-hmm. the audience wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
Were you surprised they came out? Did you know that they would?
I know the issues that my husband and I have experienced. I know things have been quite rocky for some time. I know that I presented to him what I've needed, and he has completely minimized it, discredited, or just not given it any acknowledgement, period. And even in all of that, I was still protecting him. Because as we saw in terms of what happened at the reunion, he probably didn't really know what I was going to say, although I said, listen, there's some things that has transpired in our marriage that I'm not going to speak on right now. And maybe out of guilt, he blurted it out. And it was very unfair because he almost looked at me. I felt like he looks at me as if I was a robot. Like, okay, I did that to you, but whatever. Or if I was a robot or his possession. Like, yes, I did that to you. You don't get a chance to be hurt, quad. You don't get a chance to be sad, quad. You don't get a chance to have any feelings, quad. I need you to do what you what I need you to do for me. I found myself in this mess. Now I want you to clean it up for me. What type of bull is that? And it's unfortunately, a lot of our men think that. And a lot of things have been placed on the woman's lap to just deal with it.
I feel like that is a theme kind of this season with a lot of the other women too.
I mean, who finds themselves in a hotel room with a woman? Okay? And the woman tells me on social media, your husband is running around town lying. I bet you don't know he's been in a hotel with women. What? So now I'm snatching that off my social media quickly because I don't want anybody else to sink their teeth in it. And I go home to deal with that with him, okay? And instead of him saying, being remorseful and being honest and taking responsibility for it, he shifts the blame and puts it on me. And then says, so what am I supposed to do in this? This girl is trying to extort me. Should I go to the police? Well, if I go to the police, then it's going to be public records. Or you know, should I pay her, quad? What should I do? I'm the wife that you betrayed. How dare you ask me what you should do?
Was that kind of the undercurrent of what was going on throughout the season?
Yes, it was. And even in that, you know, I did feel a sense of not being valued, not being appreciated, not being honored, respected, okay? His expectations for me was to not only do the work that I needed to do as Miss Quad and as a wife, but uphold him, no matter how he treated me. And honestly, I hate to say it, a lot of women go through it. A lot of women, it's just, and then they play it off like, well, it's a double standard. You know, this is what men do. No. Get your shit together. You f***ed up. And honestly, I don't know where I'm going to go from this. I'm not a pushover. I don't let any woman on Married to Medicine or anywhere else that I stand. I'm not a person who can be bulldozed. And I'm not going to be that person in a marriage.
What were you thinking when Simone said that she was going to get a divorce?
I was shocked. When Simone said that she was going to get a divorce, that the paperwork had already been filed, the negotiations and the terms have already been met, the only thing that needed to happen was a John Hancock. I was like, well, damn. And I didn't realize how similar my issues with my husband was. Was so similar to what Simone and Cecil were experiencing. I was very shocked, very shocked. So in the end, I don't know what is going to happen with Simone and Cecil. I know that she said that she was open to pulling back the filing of the divorce, but it seemed like she was pretty sure about the divorce walking into the reunion. So I don't know. I wish them well. But hell, I know I got to focus on my own marriage. And I heard my husband say afterwards, and let me just address this, because sitting at that bar, and that was the first time that Andy had ever sat at the bar with the man, without the women, and just I was like, watch you, Andy. But my husband sat at the bar, and he said, I take the trash out. I've done this. I've done it. I'm just like, so he's lying. When I got out there, I pulled him to the side and I was like, you know, you don't take out the trash. Why would you say that? Why would you do that? He tells me, looks at me straight in my eyes and says, I got a brand to protect. Lying like a dog through his teeth. He knew he was lying. And he turned around and said, I have a brand to protect. I'm just simply saying, the Longsters have a lot to deal with when I return home.
If he ever put his brand aside and maybe was truthful, do you think that would help?
I respect a person who can be accountable, who can take accountability for their actions. I think that will start chipping away at some of the anger and hurt that I have. Yeah. And I said chipping away. It won't cast it away.
That must be very hard.
Of course it's hard. But it was also hard for me to hear him come home and say, so you gonna help me or what? This girl is trying to extort me, but you gonna help me or what? That was hard too. And then I have to go out in the world and while protecting him, have everyone under the sun drawing a conclusion as to what is happening in our marriage. Oh, Miss Quad did this. Oh, it's because Miss Quad won't have a baby. Oh, Miss Quad is selfish. Oh, Miss Quad is all for self. Oh, Miss Quad is about building her career. Oh, Miss Quad, oh, Miss Quad, oh, Miss Quad, Quad, Quad. It's all about that. And I'm knowing what's happening. But I don't want to hurt him, and I don't want to hurt his career, so I take every punch.
I loved yesterday when Simone was like, all of you need to wise up because people are going to be out to get you.
Exactly.
I do, and I feel like this is something that has happened with Dr. Jackie, and I spoke to her about that. The women tend to get blamed
for this. Oh, yeah. Don't be an outspoken woman. Don't be in a beautiful package. Don't be sassy. Dare you to be sassy. Dare you to be a visionary thinker. Dare you to be a progressive woman. Oh, my God. Dare you not to have a baby with a doctor, honey. A lot of the criticism does not come from men, may I add. Women were just for the man. No, we're not in support of each other. I think we could really sometimes take a minute and just really say, what would I do if I was in that situation?
What should fans expect from this reunion going into watching it?
It's really, this reunion was just like an eye-opener every turn you took. It was just like one surprise after the other surprise after the other surprise. It just did not stop.
So time for Rose and Thorn. I can say without pause, Craig Conover was my rose.
Ooh. Of this week, I think my rose is Jax looking out at the sunrise with his worry rock. It just like made me so happy.
Well, my thorn is actually from last week. It's Jax. The fact that he didn't know Brittany's dream job. What?
I know.
Everyone else knew. It's kind of like in Beverly Hills how Lisa Vanderpump was like Nanny K. Nanny K.
Kyle doesn't remember Nanny K. I've talked about Nanny K ever since I've known her. Nanny K lived with me for 25 years. I mean, just because we crossed the Atlantic, she left her memory back in America.
Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Which, by the way, I thought of another rose, but another rose of mine might be that the editors... with Kyle being like, I don't think she's even said Nanny K in front of me. And it said 1 week earlier. She says Nanny K like five times. It was so amazing.
I'm sorry. I forgot your grandmother's name for a second. I actually don't know if I've ever heard it.
And Nanny K doesn't want to be woken up again. She said, no way, leave me alone.
And I don't want to speak to my grandmother on the phone. Well, I don't think I do.
Nanny K is not available. She's busy in heaven.
But my other rose... was Tyrone quoting Portia to Sheree on the phone. He was like, I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Yes!
I don't know if you guys heard that, but it was a maze.
I noticed that too.
This is too blessed to be stressed.
This call is from a federal prison.
But my thorn, I don't have a thorn.
All right. Some weeks are just good.
Some weeks are just amazing.
So should we get into some fan shout-outs?
Fan shout-outs!
Fan shoutouts.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Thank you guys. I feel like I got so many this week because I was a little bit whiny about it last week about not getting enough. So thank you for delivering.
We also got some new iTunes reviews, which I was very grateful for because those really do help people find us. And I want to read one to you guys that's only 4 stars.
What?
But I want to get your reaction.
So well, I hate it, so.
Lady Rink says, this podcast fulfills my need to discuss my favorite Bravo shows and makes my commute something to look forward to. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars because one of the girls kind of laughs like Ernie from Sesame Street and it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Is it me?
I genuinely don't know.
What does Ernie sound like? Look it up.
Google
look it up.
Ernie laughing.
Here's my rubber ducky. Bert.
All right.
it's you. You laugh like that. Oh my God.
Wait, play it again. What was her name?
That was Lady Rink.
Go f*** yourself, Lady Rink. That's my laugh.
To cleanse your palate about laughter, Danielle Jamie on Instagram DM'd me and said, "The Daily Dish podcast makes my 1.5-hour commute so much easier. So glad I can get my Bravo fix with y'all and the Watch What Happens Live podcast. Thanks to you, Megan, and Grace for keeping me laughing during bumper-to-bumper traffic."
Well, Samia HGP wrote me. She commented on a vacation post, and she goes, "Glad you had fun, but miss your spirit, funny commentary, and voice on the podcast."
Aww.
So sweet.
So sweet.
You were missed.
Ann Muldavin, I want to say, said, "Thoroughly enjoy every episode. Spot on with your takes and interviews. You have the best laughs. So take that, Lady Rink."
Yeah, best laughs.
Today, I actually, after reading that, felt less self-conscious laughing.
But
so
wait,
thank
be
you.
Honest. Do you guys think my laugh is annoying?
No. I love your laugh.
You both have very distinct, joyous laughs.
No. She hates that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason you decided to read that.
Yeah.
No, it's because...
out of all the great reviews, I just... somebody anonymous... You're a Lady Rink, aren't you? You're a Lady Rink. Ugh. Can I also shout someone else out, though? Because they were sent me, like, the nicest thing. Yeah. Hi, Dolan, on Instagram. She said, "I love Daily Dish. When you came into my life, I was first so angry. I thought, who are these girls and why don't I have this job? This is so me. Then you both became like a group of friends in the playground that I wasn't a part of, but looked and listened to you. I binge listened to you, then I was all cut up. Now we are besties. I have always looked forward to every day of what shows were on that night to come home and be a part of. Then, blow mind emoji, I have friends to talk about it."
Aww.
I know. "But we want to talk to you. We love this kind of stuff. We love talking about your theories." Somebody sent me something about how Kim and Croy is a lot like Aviva and Reed, which I thought was a really good comparison.
Yeah.
So we love talking about Bravo, obviously. Please keep DMing us, tweeting us your thoughts.
Yeah, you can find us at Bravo TV, use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small and on Twitter at Rachie Robb.
And you can find me, if you want to follow me, which some people do, which is great, @gross_raisin. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.